I think the paper is co-written with Manos Matsaganis, and its title is Poverty and Inequality During the Great Recessions, the Case of Greece.
Good morning to everyone, and thank you very much for being here, and it's a great pleasure for me to be here as well. The aim of the paper that I'm going to present is to simulate the effects of the Greek crisis on the income distribution and to estimate how the burden of this crisis, defined here as both the austerity measures and the wider recession, is shared across population groups. And we do that by comparing the distribution of income in 2009 and 2010. We have some preliminary results for 2011 that are going to be presented here for the first time. We compare them to that in 2009, pre-crisis terms, by using the European tax benefit model called Euromod. A very quick look at the austerity measures regarding direct taxation. We basically had two changes in the personal income tax schedule, one in 2010 and one in 2011, and many special contributions such as self-employed contribution, solidarity contribution, and so on, emergency taxation. Regarding indirect taxation, we had big rises in VAT rates, as well as tobacco, alcohol, fuel, luxury taxes in 2010. Big public sector wage cuts, as well as pension cuts and taxes on high pensions. Apart from the austerity measures, Greece also entered a period, as we all know, of great recession. There has been a dramatic rise in unemployment. The rate increased from 6.6 in 2008 to 18.4 in this August. We had a fall in employees and self-employed earnings, many wage cuts, reduced earnings, drop in retail sales, and many business failures. Inflation rose from 1.4% in 2009 to 4.7% in 2010, and then fell this year to 2.8%, and many public services were underfunded or not funded at all. Moving to the methodology that we used, we basically have two options. The first is to wait until data from income surveys such as EU-SILC become available. This will not be the case before 2013-2014, data on 2010 and 2011 incomes. And the second option is to simulate the effects of these policy changes right now by using a microsimulation. We opted for the latter option, both because of the policy interest of this question and because we have access to the European tax benefit model called the Euromod. What is this Euromod? It's a static multi-country microsimulation model. It's tested in numerous applications. It's validated both at micro and macro level. It uses monetary incomes from micro data. For Greece, data comes from EU-SILC 2007, and our first task was to uprate our incomes and social benefits to 2010 and 2011, and then we tried to simulate as many austerity measures and aspects of the recession as possible. Some methodological innovation were that we tried to account for the rise in unemployment. It was too big to be ignored, so we had to adjust our data set in the light of the most recent data coming from the labor force survey. We accounted for the non-take-up of certain social assistance benefits. We accounted for tax evasion, another reality that we just cannot ignore. We used stylized rates of income under-reporting coming from earlier work. And we also tried to account for indirect taxation. As EU-SILC is not a consumption survey, we did that separately. We estimated the changes separately on the basis of earlier findings that use data from consumption surveys. So, we are now ready to move to our results. In this graph, you can see how the burden of austerity measures is shared across the population's income deciles. All the bars, positive, minus, negative, sum up to 100% of fiscal savings achieved in 2010 compared to 2009. We can see that most of the savings come from the red bar. The red bar represents the changes in VAT rates. And these bars also have the most regressive shape. The green bars are also interesting. They depict the fall in fiscal savings coming from income tax in 2010. This was due both to the reduction of taxable incomes because of the crisis and because of the most favorable tax schedule that was valid in 2010. Things changed a bit in 2011. The tax schedule changed, as I told you in the beginning. It became the tax base became broader. All tax allowances were abolished. Tax credits were 50% cut. So now the green bars are positive. We have a rise in fiscal savings from income tax in 2011 versus 2009. And again, most of the savings come from the red bars, the VAT changes. We have to note that in 2010, the two poorest deciles contributed a noteworthy 8% of the total fiscal consolidation, whereas the two richest deciles paid 43% of the total consolidation. In this diagram, we can see the yearly loss of household equivalized disposable income, both in absolute and in relative terms, adjusted for inflation. In absolute terms, these are the bars, the 10th decile lost a bit more than 5,000 euros or 13.5% of its pre-crisis income. The yearly loss for the poorest decile was 330 euros, more or less. However, this small, relatively speaking, amount represents a non-negligible 9% of its pre-crisis income. In 2010, the losses of the richest decile rose sharply from 13.5% to 18.6%, whereas the losses of the poorest decile remained almost at the same level. They rose from 9% to 9.4%. A few words about poverty and inequality. In order to study poverty, we used two poverty lines. The conventional one, set at 60% of median equivalized income, and another poverty line, which was anchored, fixed in pre-crisis terms, in 2009 terms. We believe that this second line captures a bit better the feeling of impoverishment felt by people who in 2010 and 2011 were not able to buy the same bundle of goods as in 2009 due to the fall of their purchasing power. So now, as you can see, on the whole, poverty rates as measured conventionally changed perhaps less than someone might have expected. From 20.1% in 2009, they go up to 20.7% in 2010, and they actually fall in 2011 to 19.6%. This is standard results in periods where the median income of the whole economy falls as dramatically as it did in Greece. It fell almost 70 euros from 572 euros to 507 euros in 2011. However, the picture changes a lot if we use the alternative poverty line. And poverty rises almost 6 percentage points from 2009 to 2010 and another 4 percentage points in 2011, reaching 30.3%. In the following table, we can see basically two things. First, that poverty varies widely by employment status, from nearly 0% if the household head is a public sector or a banking employee, to over 40% if the household head is unemployed or farmer, and that poverty has risen dramatically for the unemployed even by using the conventional definition, more than 60%. a few words about inequality. The inequality indices that we have studied tell us that inequality seems to have slightly decreased, and that the relative distribution of disposable income in 2010 and 2011 has become a bit less dispersed relative to 2009. And the final question that we try to answer concerns the progressivity or the regressivity of the austerity measures. The results of the Reynolds-Smolensky index of income redistribution indicate that self-employed contribution, a lump sum tax paid by self-employed and liberal professions, and especially VAT changes, had a regressive effect. Changes in income tax, mostly the 2011 changes in income taxation, public sector pay cuts, and pensioner solidarity contribution, taxes, these are taxes in higher pensions, this had a clear progressive effect. Whereas the effect of pension cuts was very slightly progressive, very close to zero. Some reasons for caution when interpreting our results are that the original database, the SILC database that we are using, is not perfect. The uprating of incomes from 2006 to 2010 and 2011 cannot be perfect either, whereas some simulations cannot be 100% precise. However, the majority of the measures that we simulated, we managed to simulate with a high degree of accuracy. And finally, there are some aspects of the crisis, such as the underfunding of social services, for example, that we haven't been able to capture here. However, we believe that there are some policy implications that arise from this work. The Greek system of social protection, we have seen that the poorest deciles of the population shoulder a non-negligible part of the crisis burden. And the Greek system of social protection in its present patchy and segmented form, as Mrs. Liberaki also told us, it is simply unfit for this kind of crisis. As poverty rates for the unemployed are skyrocketing, it's necessary to strengthen unemployment protection as well as general income support. We shouldn't forget that Greece is one of the very few EU countries with no guaranteed minimum income scheme. Hence, it becomes an urgent need for the welfare state to be able to mitigate the adverse effects of the crisis and to be able to protect the most vulnerable, in an efficient way, the most vulnerable groups of the population. Thank you very much.